Perfect.
And like I said, your page is tagged in this, so your cool. wife should be able to find it easily if she wants to share it out as well. All right. Well, thanks for doing this. I definitely appreciate it. I didn't expect such a quick response back, but I appreciate it.
Time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence. And also for, you know, I reached out to all of the candidates. Mm-hmm. You're the first one to respond, and you're the first one to get everything set up and situated to be here. So for anyone out there that may be asking why you're the first one that's come and sat down with me, on my end, no bias, you know, first come, first serve. And then also, like you said, time is of the essence. So I reached out, you saw it, you jumped on it, and we're here. We're doing it. Same
yes,
day.
Sir.
So
yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
Yeah. So for everyone out there that may be wondering, I'm Corey Elijah. You probably know that. But I'm here with Mr. James Simmons. He's running for sheriff here in Kenosha County. You're a current police officer or sheriff deputy?
Yeah, sheriff deputy.
Sheriff's deputy, okay.
In Illinois?
Yes. Okay, perfect, nice. So you're a Kenosha County resident then?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Since 2008.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm.
Born and raised in Racine, Wisconsin. I'm a qualified cheesehead.
Okay, nice, yeah. Nice. So you're a Packer fan then?
Yes.
Nice. All right, well, then you passed the test. So before we get into everything with, you know, why you decided to run and all of that, let's get into your background a little bit. You know, okay. How about like growing up, you know, in Racine or whatnot, how your childhood was for you and why you, you know, what got you involved in wanting to be in the community and help the community out?
Yes. I guess as I was 12 years old, my mother and father divorced, had two other siblings, which are my sisters. I was the middle person. My father wasn't really a big part of our lives after the divorce. And from there, I believe that's when manhood started calling. Mm. You know, I could have hung out, did a lot of things, but, you know, got a paper route job, tried to support my family, meaning my mother and my two sisters, tried to do everything that was possible and be the role model for myself because I didn't have one at the time. Mm. So those things helped push me along, went into high school and everything. And from there, it just felt like I had a dream. One day I was going to be a police officer because it felt good. You know what I mean? You watch all the shows and, you know, it inspires you, not because it's action-packed, but it's actually just being a servant, public servant for the people. You know what I mean? Taking criminals off the road, being able to handle situations in a positive way. You know, I took that and ran with it, you know. Mm. But I decided after that, went to college, then went into the military. And then from there, I felt a sense of fulfillment, wholeness, you know what I mean? I served my country. Mm. So then I decided to go ahead, join the police force, and that was the police force in Lake County. Mm. And from there, been there ever since. And right now, I just feel that all of the things that happen within, you know, 2020, but before then, I thought about it real hard, about running and just trying to get cross all my T's and dot all my I's before I even think about it. And from there, I felt a sense of yearning and something just came all over me, like police officers today, law enforcement today is getting a bad, bad rap, you know? And you know, I am a cop. I'm a moderate Democrat, but I'm also a cop. And I understand how my brothers and sisters in law enforcement are going through. Mm. And I also know, as a civilian being in Wisconsin, I know how it is to be a civilian and how I want to be treated by law enforcement. Mm. So technically, I have two sides of the coin coming in. Mm. So most people, if you're a police officer, you feel like you're a police officer all day long in your perspective place that where you patrol. Right. I can hang up my stuff and walk outside and greet people and have a good conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be a part of it as police officers now. Because when we take off our uniforms, mm-hmm. we're part of the community. So if I talk about the community, I'm talking about law enforcement, and everybody, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it's just cooperation from everyone, you know what I mean? We can get past this. And I think that I could shine some light on a lot of things. Mm. You know, one is being for me, I'm always before the badge. Meaning if I come to a situation, an incident, I say, hello, my name is James. What's going on? Let me find out what's going on. I won't say that, you know that I'm a police officer. I'm already dressed, but I'm trying to break the ice because one is people, blood pressure, attitudes, you know, is at a high because it's a stressful situation when you see me. So I have to be able to use that verbal judo in order to calm things down and relate to people as a person before I become that police officer that had to make those decisions later. You know what I mean? And still dealing with cultural activities and, you know, over there in Illinois, I did a youth mentor, and it basically was setting up in regards to kids in elementary schools, how to act and respond to cop. We read a little books. And then from there, you know, I may see that child at the gas station that will come up to me with his parents. Oh, I know, that's Deputy Simmons. And then I get introduced to the parents. You know what I mean? So those are the kind of icebreaker things that I love to do. And from there, going back a little bit, I was a correction officer when I first started at Lake County. And then from there, became a deputy. And then from there, a detective. I had a question. Somebody had emailed me, said, did I get demoted because I went back to a deputy? I was like, no. What it is just another division. It's a lateral move. No extra pay, no higher rank. And so I decided to get out of that because I know if I'm going to run, if a hot call come, a homicide or anything of that nature, I have to decide if I'm going to run or I'm about to go to this situation. So I'd rather to put myself on a 9-to-5 versus any time. So that's the reason why I got up, and that's why that's former.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, too. You know, you always have to make sure that, especially when you're dealing with work, especially a position like that, you know, you don't want to, you know, it's good to make that decision ahead of time and not, you know, end up either having to be selfish in the situation or put yourself in a situation where you can't commit, you know?
So that's correct.
You know, so, I mean, I commend you for doing that. And anybody that would say you're stepping back or, you know, demoting yourself is, you know, it's about playing the game.
That's right. And that, but I like to put things out that that people may ask questions or something like that that really need, I need to answer those questions, you know what I mean? Because it's legitimate questions. In certain areas, being a detective is a promotion and more money. However, at my department, it's not. You know, it's just a lateral move. And it's a move that I made so I can be well-rounded in law enforcement because on highway, meaning deputy, you start the investigation, but in as a detective, you will finish it. And so I wanted to be well-rounded and exposed to every element that I could possibly be in.
Gathering that intel, that information, the skill set as you,
that's
as you
right.
move on.
And it moves with the mindset.
So since you are a sheriff's deputy in Illinois, and you also live in Wisconsin. I mean, a lot goes on. You know, you're a civilian here, so I'm sure you're able to kind of make comparisons and things like that. One, is that what kind of motivated you to run here? Because you may see things that you can improve just by having experience elsewhere, seeing things that may work or may not work, and seeing things that we may or may not be doing on this end. And then to follow that up, with that, do you think any like negative pushback may come from, say, the community because you do operate in Illinois, but you're running here in Kenosha?
Well, one, I noticed that there's no engagement with the police in the community at this point, and I think it's no willingness on each part, so we're both to blame, you know what I mean? I think that we have to be able to put our differences aside, and just like we are coming to the table, and let's have a discussion. I want to make sure that we as law enforcement, when we're going through neighborhoods, slow down. Crack your windows down, if the weather permit. Wave at people, even if they don't wave back. Say hello. If they don't even say back, that's fine. We're the paid professionals. That's what we're supposed to do. That's a mustard seed that can grow into an oak tree just from the start. Because I consider law enforcement also a business. So at the end of the day, we have to make sure that it takes years to have a rapport with the community in only seconds to lose it. So it's a lot of work thrown out the window. So my thing is that from being in Illinois, like I said earlier, the two sides of the coin, I understand how it is to be a civilian and a law enforcement officer. And I want to bring that issue, especially being in the level that I'm at. And I understand that, you know, in an administrative role, being captain, whoever that you may be in that administrative role, you have to understand your subordinates, they make you or break you. And if you're kind and you are fair to your subordinates, I guarantee you when they come out of roll call, meaning that when they come and brief and then they go out to their districts, they'll feel more proud about doing things. Rather than, I notice in some cases that you do have commanders, whatever, maybe a little bit hard on people. And it's a psychological thing because guess what happened? They come out here to the civilians and may be hard on us. I think we have to change a little bit of the infrastructure in regards to within the law enforcement agencies. And like I said, I'm a moderate. I don't go all the way left and I don't go all the way right. I think the law has no color. And I expressed that so many times. If it's properly implemented, it should serve everyone. My goal is to get from the Republicans, the Democrats, the undecided, the independents, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree. And I feel that's what most people, especially when you're dealing with law enforcement, most the general public, the people that aren't, you know, super gung-ho for either side, the people that are looking for law enforcement to, you know, do their job as is, you know. Of course, there's going to be things and anomalies that happen that, you know, may aggravate either side. But when it comes to finding a person to lead, we want someone that kind of appeals, that can appeal to everyone. But then also with that, have a skill set, especially for today's age, you know, to be able to understand, you know, all of the different cultures that are around, you know. That's one thing that I kind of gauge the most out of all of the noise with this election that's going on that I've seen. Most people are like, oh, you know, it's like the same old, you know, good old boy, you know, system or whatever it may be. And at the end of the day, to a certain extent, it has to be because we're looking for someone to fill a position within that structure. So of course we're looking for someone that knows how to operate within the structure,
right,
to head up the structure. But then also you can find people within that can, you know, kind of shape shift and fit different molds or have different life experiences, you know. So it's great to see, you know, out of a few of the candidates, especially yourself, to be, you know, different, you know, something that people can be like, all right, this is actually, like, we actually have, you know, some solid choices. We have some candidates we can really look at, you know, and really make a good decision for what's best for the future. Because, you know, last year, a lot of things went on. A lot of people, the general public that don't really, you know, that don't really necessarily lean to either side. We're talking about just the everyday folks that were just living here, you know, felt, you know, that they were kind of left, you know, left to the wayside while everything was going on.
Right.
Was looking towards leadership to kind of step in, give them at least words of encouragement or whatever it may be. And, you know, a lot of people felt that they, you know, the ball was just completely dropped, you know. I'm not here to point fingers, but that's just what I gauge from the community, you know. And, you know, we hear others as well, but generally that's what I've been hearing. With the situation, and of course, it's like a once in a lifetime, you know, once in a generation, I guess I'll say, situation, scenario that happened last year. And being a resident, how did you take everything in just on, you know, just living here and having to, you know, see everything that was going on? And you don't have to get into emotionally how you felt about the situation, but seeing how things are being handled and seeing, you know, how the general public is reacting to everything and all of that stuff.
Well, by being a civilian here, you know, but being law enforcement out there, I'm the kind of person that can be outside of the box, that can look inside and see the problems versus somebody who's already been there and centered there for a long period of time and see the problem or may not see the problem or refuse to fix the problem. I think the things that happened, I was affected as well. I live close to Uptown. My power was cut off for 18 hours. Yeah. So people around at the fire department, everybody had, it's not just the incident itself, but everybody had to struggle and suffer because of the after effects of what happened. You know, I think that a lot of people come to me and they said, well, how are you doing? How are you feeling about the situation? I always tell people that I want to make sure and get this straight, that it was a bad incident on both parts. Okay, the incident will happen if we don't do some kind of form of scenario-based training. I want to bring that to light right now. You can actually have people that are paid actors, you know what I mean? That's really good. Mm. We put police officers in a heated position where they got to try to solve an incident, okay? And by doing so, you can, somebody else looking at it and say, okay, well, he knows it's acting, but it's not. Once it snaps and you're in the motion, you take it for real. And so these things, if something happened during that incident, then we can learn from that incident. We can replay that incident. You know what I mean? Because remember your mom used to say, don't say what if? But now we got to train and practice for what if, because it's not a matter of when. You know what I mean? No. It's going to happen.
Right.
So my thing is we need more training, and we need more people that are for, like, different organizations, because I had another person say, are you with Black Lives Matter? I'm not with any group, but I'm willing to sit at the table and invite every group that's going to bring something positive. I consider myself a sponge. I soak up the good and squeeze out the bad. Whatever's going to help the community, I'm here for the community. And I know my main responsibility is the unincorporated areas. However, I want to be the voice for the people because that's elected official. And you're supposed to take there and take charge and bring all the captains and all the chiefs, whoever, from all different agencies throughout the county. Because at the end of the day, it can be Pleasant Prairie, but it's at what? Kenosha County. Mm-hmm. Kenosha City, Kenosha County. I would be responsible in regards to reaching out and bridging the gap between the community, and hopefully everybody will take notice and follow along in my footsteps. Because the goal is communication. Without that, if we ignore each other, then it's going to persist and perpetuate the situation. Now, if I'm willing to come to you and you refuse to come to me or meet, then you're part of the problem as well. Because it takes two to get over our situations and our biases. That's what's going on. Because you got to understand, I'm a Black man. When I wear the uniform, everybody considers me as one of them. And we don't need us versus them. Like I said before, we take off our uniforms and we're part of the public. You can see me at Menards walk up to me. Hey, how you doing? And I'm going to be approachable. I'm not going to be that person behind the badge and don't want to talk to anybody. No, that's your job. That job is 24 hours a day. Even though you don't get paid 24 hours a day, you are a public servant. And that's what I want to do for Kenosha County.
Yeah, and I agree with the with the sentiment of, you know, 24/7, you are a public servant. You know, it's unfortunate that that's the day that we live in, the day and age that we live, but literally that's the day and age that we live in. Mm-hmm. People know you, people can find you everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's the internet, there's all of these, you know, mediums that make people more visible, mm-hmm. you know, and the more visible you are, especially when you're a public figure, even if you are just a police officer mm-hmm. or you're a fireman or whatever it may be, you know, you're in the mm-hmm. public eye, you're a public servant, and you work with the people. And if you work with the people, people are going to be looking at you, mm-hmm. you know, even if you're not in the uniform, because someone sees you once or twice, now your face is ingrained in their memory mm-hmm. bank, you know, and anything can come from that, even if it is, you know, 3 a.m. and you're at Woodman's getting groceries or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. It's unfortunate, but again, it's the day and age that we live in.
That's why I, as a young kid, I never thought about drinking, okay? Don't have nothing against people that do drink. But the point is, I want to have crystal clarity at any given time. You know what I mean? So those are the issues that I think that, you know, people drink a lot, you know, things have a good time. And, you know, you have to be, as an officer, you got to know when to stop drinking. And, you know, because your actions, if it's shown even off shift or whatever, can easily hit the media, hit the papers. And it, you just be another example of something that is negative that we have to stain of tarnish on law enforcement. And like I said, you know, I support law enforcement because I am law enforcement. So anybody said something totally different is absolutely wrong. I believe in law and order. And I'm hoping to educate the people. And if that means that bringing every leader to the group or whatever, we're having a conversation, if we had to give you your basic rights and learn your basic right when you encounter the police, that only helps the law enforcement, because I never want to be judge, jury, and executioner on any incident. That's my goal. If you learn, if you know the basics, and maybe then you can support us. It's our job as law enforcement to know the law. You know, we're going to know more than you. But the point is, at least you know you're right, because I do not want anybody to ever be another example or be a model for any kind of, you know, situation. It doesn't help.
Yeah, and I think education for everyone will only better the situation.
Absolutely.
You know? Of course, you know, on the side of the police, of course, I would say more training or consistent training or revamp training, however people want to look at it. However, this, I'm not a specialist, so whatever the specialist would say. But then also on the civilian side, of course, you know, you hear people say, you know, I know my rights, I know my rights all the time. In one of the interviews I did with one of the judicial candidates, made a point to say, like, people come in all of the time and say, you know, they violated my rights, and they didn't, you know, because people have this misconception of what the law is because they watch television and things of that nature. So, you know, education for civilians, I think, is a great idea, a fantastic idea, or even, you know, having a collaboration with the police or the sheriff's department, you know, reach out and, you know, have a community.
That's my goal.
Course or something like that. Right.
That's the goal. And also, you know how individuals get stopped because they appear to meet the description of somebody. People get upset with that, right?
Yes, it's happened to me.
I think that we should formulate a stop card, meaning that if we do have a call and we're looking for a individual and you happen to meet that description, at the end of the day, we do the investigation, we cut you loose. We're going to give you a portion of that stop card stating that there's my information, the incident number or the report number in regards to what took place. It's up to you if you want to go and receive that report, because if they give that clothing description, whatever, and you're matching it, we have an understanding that, yeah, I can see myself being, you know, because I did match the description in regards to clothing or what have you. So it breaks down those barriers and hold us accountable as law enforcement and transparent. You know what I mean? I also believe in the racial data traffic forms, meaning that if I pull you over, if I pull over 20 Hispanic, blacks, white, whoever the case may be, when it comes down to the page of it all, that my probable cause, because one, you were speeding. The other was because your plate light was maybe out, or maybe you were doing something that was illegal. And it's not because of who you are. It's because you're a violation. And that way we can have accountability and have still transparency to show the public we're doing our job. And it's not based on we're looking for the person, we're looking for the violation.
Right. And I mean, I think that's a phenomenal idea. Also, even just on the back end, having, like you said, creating the transparency, but then on the back end, you could easily, I mean, I'm sure a coder will hear this and will make a program, you know, sometime this week that will be able to automate a process like that as well, where you have these slips and they go into the system and then you have it on file and you can easily, you know, get to...
That'll be in the works.
Yep.
So, but I, like I said, those just... a smidgen of my ideas. And like I said, I don't want to hurt law enforcement. I want to uplift law enforcement. That's my number one goal. By doing that and trying to be fair and transparent, I think that was just all across the board. Everybody should be taken care of. North, south, east, and west. And I'm going out west and east and wherever I'm going to go to spread my word of unity and cooperation and understanding.
If you had any final words that you wanted to give out to the public at all for your campaign, and of course, any plugs so people can, you know, learn more about your campaign, donate, all that good stuff as well.
Well, they should go to James Simmons for Kenosha Sheriff. And also, I'm working on my website now. And in addition to that, I will be out at the county fair on the 19th from 6 to 10 at the Democratic booth. So you can come out and say hello to me. And if you want to pick my brain, I'm willing to engage in any time. Because I told you before, at the end of the day, I am approachable.
Yep, and that's, and honestly, out of, you know, for me, out of everything that I've learned over the past like couple years or whatever, just dealing with people more, being approachable is the best trait, especially when you have a message. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of people have a message sometimes, but they're not very approachable. Mm-hmm. So you definitely had that energy. I got to talk to you and your wife, you know, for a little bit at the Juneteenth celebration, which mm-hmm. was really nice. It was great meeting you there. Glad to see that you made a decision and you decided that you were going to run. So, and best of luck for you in the campaign. I'm sure you'll do well. I mean, Kenosha needs something different, you know.
Yes.
Something, you know, it's 2021. Things have been the same for a very long time. Mm-hmm. We're coming off a turbulent year, but also coming off, because, 2021 is almost over now, a year that's shown a lot of growth, you know, and a lot of unity and a lot of moving forward. So mm-hmm. hopefully we can keep on moving in that direction, guide the city into a prosperous future. And hopefully we'll have someone great, you know, overseeing the sheriff's department while all that goes on. So, James, again, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, sir.
It was a great conversation. Again, make sure you guys stop by James's page, James Simmons for Kenosha Sheriff. Like the page. Reach out to him with your questions. This is going to be a wild campaign, I imagine. I see a lot of people entering. I think there's 3 other candidates, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they are on the Republican side.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
and right now, like I said, we have, I am the only one for the Democrat. And like I said, at the end of the day, I'm willing to do what it takes to get the job done because I believe in fairness. That's why I am a moderate. I'm not an extremist on any side. And any group is welcome to come and talk to me once I'm sheriff and we can sit down. We'll come. Here it is. We all have differences. My goal is to sit at the table. We can actually take some goodness and implement this. And because, like I said, it's not going to be just left on law enforcement. It is the community responsibility as well. And they should be also accountable, too, with the growth of the county. So if we sit at the table, we can find something positive. We're going to implement it. Like I said, everybody has a voice. And I want to give everybody a voice. And not just a voice. If we can put it in on paper and make it happen, we're going to make it happen.
All right, James. Well, I appreciate you again for coming by.
No problem.
Again, James Simmons for Kenosha Sheriff. Make sure you stop by the page, get all the information that you need, and make sure when it comes down to time to vote, make sure you guys do that. This is going to be probably one of the most important elections in the history of Kenosha, just coming off of, again, everything that happened last year, where we're looking to go in the future.
Good point, because I'm believing personally my campaign. I know it's the situations and everything that happened was national, okay? The incidents, unfortunate incidents, were national. I think by having my campaign should be as well as national. If we can come up with the blueprint to get us back on track the way we were and better, I think I have that. I know I have that. So at the end of the day, we need somebody that's going to step in, show that leadership, be approachable, and don't show any kind of division. It's all about unity. We're all in this together, and thanks for your time. Make sure you donate, because without money, we can't move it forward. But thank you a lot, and I appreciate it, and thank you again, sir.
Yeah, of course, no problem. And I like that. Unity is the message moving forward for the nation.
Yes.
Not just Kenosha. This will be the blueprint.
The blueprint.
All right. All right. Well, yeah, man. I appreciate it. All right, guys. You guys have a good one. We will talk to you soon.